Today I want to talk to you about King Hezekiah and a great prayer that he made and the mighty answer that he received. But before we do that, I want to give you a little background concerning Hezekiah. I'm going to get us to where we're going to be today. During the reign of King Saul and King David and King Solomon, Israel was united. We call it the United Kingdom. All 12 tribes were under the rule of these kings. Saul was a king for 40 years. David was a king for 40 years. Solomon was a king for 40 years. And the United Kingdom, so as a whole, lasted 120 years. Now, if you look at this map, the red on this map represents the size of Israel, the United Kingdom during the reign of Saul. And then the next color, I'm not exactly sure what that is, a brownish yellow or whatever. I guess a little more orange up here. If you look at that, that's the size of the United Kingdom, the 12 tribes under King David. The borders expanded. And then when you look at the whole thing, that is the size of Israel, the kingdom, the boundaries under King Solomon. So while they were United Kingdom, the kingdom of Israel grew. When Solomon died, Rehoboam, his son, became king. And during that time, Israel was divided. And now we have what we call the Northern Kingdom of Israel and the Southern Kingdom of Israel. The Northern Kingdom is represented by the blue. The Southern Kingdom is represented by the yellow up here. Now, the Northern tribes were called the Kingdom of Israel, and they had 10 tribes. 10 tribes made up the Northern Kingdom. 2 tribes made up the Southern Kingdom, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Also included in that would be the Levites. The Levites they weren't given any land. They were the priests, they were the people who worked in the temple. They weren't given any land. So the Levites were also included both in the north and in the south. Now, here's the thing when you look at this. When you look at the Blue Kingdom, the Northern Kingdom of Israel, all their kings were wicked kings. All their kings did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's something, isn't it, when you think about the Israelites being God's people, when you think that all their kings would be wicked. When you look at the Southern Kingdom, they had some good kings and they had some bad kings. They had a mixture. But many of them did evil in the sight of the Lord, and that would be the case for King Ahaz. King Ahaz was Hezekiah's father. We're going to be talking about Hezekiah this morning. Ahaz was his dad. Hezekiah became king after Ahaz died. Now, Ahaz followed the detestable practices of the nations around him. They worshiped pagan gods, and this worship included sacrificing children in the fire. The Bible tells us that he even sacrificed some of his own children in the fire, which means that Hezekiah was fortunate to be alive to be able to take his father's place as king. Ahaz did a lot of terrible things. He actually closed the doors of the temple. That's where they would go. He closed the doors of the temple. He brought in Asherah poles. Now, an Asherah pole was simply a pole, sometimes carved, sometimes painted, sometimes decorated. It was placed in the ground, and people would come and gather around that pole, and they would worship Asherah. Now, Asherah was a Canaanite pagan goddess, basically in charge of fertility. But of course, if you worshiped Asherah, you broke the first and second commandments. And there were other things God had said concerning this. In Exodus chapter 34, God said, listen, Israelites, when you go into the land of Canaan, tear down the Asherah poles. And in Deuteronomy 16, verse 21, he tells them, never put up an Asherah pole. Well, that's what Ahaz did. He put up these Asherah poles. He also brought idols in of Baal into the city. Baal was considered by the Canaanites to be the most powerful god. He was also their most popular god. He was the god of the weather, the god of the sun. He was also a god of fertility. So if you made Baal mad, you might have a hard time growing crops or having kids. Ahaz also brought pagan altars into the city. Again, God had warned them, tear down the pagan altars. He didn't tear them down. He brought them in. So this was Ahaz. The Bible says during his time, they offered sacrifices on hilltops and on high places and under every tree. In other words, everywhere in the city of Jerusalem, everywhere throughout Judah, God's people, the Israelites, were worshiping these pagan gods. Now, when Ahaz died, Hezekiah became king. The year would have been about 715 BC. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for about 29 years. We read about him in 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles and in Isaiah chapter 36 through 39. When Hezekiah became king, all that was left now of Israel was the southern kingdom. 6 years earlier, in 721 BC, the Assyrian Empire, the Assyrian army came down, and they conquered the northern kingdom. The 10 tribes that were in the northern kingdom ceased to exist. What the Assyrians did is they brought in people from other areas, placed them into the northern kingdom. They took out some of the Jews, put them elsewhere. Everyone intermarried. It was a political thing they did. If you intermarried with other people, you lost your identity. You became a citizen, basically, of the Assyrians. So you no longer have the 10 tribes. When we get to the New Testament, the people that made up that northern kingdom in the New Testament times would be called the Samaritans. Anyhow, Assyria was a large nation. It was northeast of Israel. Today, in today's land, there'd be portions of Iraq and Turkey and Syria and Iran. They expanded the borders because they conquered so many people. Hezekiah, becoming king, he is going to have to deal with the Assyrian people. But before we talk about how he deals with them, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Hezekiah. Unlike his father, Hezekiah was a very godly man. 2 Kings 18, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord. He did not stop following him. He kept the commands of the Lord had given Moses. Hezekiah was a great king. He brought a revival to Judah. 2 Kings chapter 18, 3 and 4. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Now, David was a spiritual father, father in the faith, basically. Ahaz was his physical father. He removed the high places. He smashed the sacred stones. He cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, Israelites had been burning incense to it. Along with that, the Bible says he reopened the doors of the temple. He reinstated the Passover. It's hard to believe, but the Jews hadn't been keeping the Passover for years. Verse 7 says, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Syria and did not serve him. Now, this rebellion against the Assyria worked for a while. But then this guy named Sennacherib became king of Assyria. And he decided that he was going to put an end to Hezekiah's defiance. So in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib sent his army to attack Judah. And they laid siege to all the cities in Judah until Jerusalem was the only city that was left, and that's where Hezekiah, of course, was. So Hezekiah decided maybe the best thing for him to do was to pay tribute, pay taxes to Sennacherib. So he sent Sennacherib 11 tons of silver. That's a lot of silver. And a ton of gold. That's a lot of gold. And he was hoping Sennacherib would then go home, but he did not. Evidently, he figured, well, you know, Hezekiah, because of everything he did, he needs a little more punishment than just paying me taxes. So he sent an army to Jerusalem to surround the city, an army of close to a couple hundred thousand soldiers. And the commander of the army walked out, and he stood between the camp and Jerusalem, and he talked to the people that were gathered on top of the walls of Jerusalem. And he said, listen, don't expect your God to save you. Assyria has attacked many nations, and none of their gods save them. Don't expect that to happen. He told the people that Hezekiah was a liar, he was deceiving them, that he could not save them. And we read this in Isaiah chapter 36, verse 12. He said, things are going to get so bad, you folks. Listen to this. Things are going to get so bad, you're going to end up eating your own excrement and drinking your own urine. That's pretty strong language, you know, to tell these people. And he said, listen, you guys, you don't even have a cavalry. If I gave you 2,000 horses, you don't have 2,000 men to ride them. So imagine sitting there on the wall and listening to this commander of this Assyrian army speaking concerning your king and what's going to happen to you. You might expect the people to revolt, but they do not. They do not rebel. They don't even talk against Hezekiah. They say nothing.
Then the messengers of the king of Assyria sent a letter to Hezekiah. And this is what happens next. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, spread it out before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. Now Hezekiah received this threatening letter. Did you ever receive a threatening letter? Maybe from the IRS? Maybe from somebody who's trying to, a crook who's trying to get your money? Years ago, there used to be a department store in Boardman called Ames. Remember Ames? It was across from the Southern Park Mall. It closed down and went bankrupt. And about 7 years after they closed down, I got a letter in the mail from a law firm in New York City. Looked very legal, you know. And what they said is they were taking care of the bankruptcy and everything, and that somewhere along the line I had written them a check for 50-some dollars, and it bounced. And I owed them that money. Now, because this was years ago, I owed them a penalty, I owed them interest, and the amount I owed them was just a little under $200. Now, this wasn't like one of those letters you get from Africa. You've received these letters, haven't you? Half the words are misspelled. The English is horrible. You know it's not real. This was a letter that really looked legal. Had a lot of, even had embossed stamp on it, you know. I mean, it did not look like something that was direct mailed. And the letter said, if I didn't pay this amount in 10 days, that there would be a warrant for my arrest, and I could end up spending time in jail and paying a fine that would increase $100 a day for every day I did not pay it after that 10 days. So the letter said, don't say you didn't write the check. Don't tell us we got the wrong person. Send the money or face the consequences. Basically what it said. I didn't save the letter, but that's basically what it said. So I was scared, and I sent the money. Not $200, I sent them three $100 bills. It was Monopoly money. It made me feel better. I could just picture in my mind them getting that envelope and opening it and taking out that Monopoly money. Just made me feel better. I never heard from them again. Evidently, Monopoly money was okay. I don't know. But when I first got the letter and first read the letter, it was kind of scary. So Hezekiah gets the scary letter. It's not a phony letter. It's real. It's from a real king with a real army just camped outside his walls. And I really like what he does with the letter. He goes into the temple that he had reopened, and he spreads this letter out before the Lord, and he prays. Hezekiah was the king of Israel. But what the commander of the Syrian army said was true. Even if he gave Hezekiah 2,000 horses, he didn't have 2,000 men who could ride them into battle. Hezekiah did have an army, but nothing like the Assyrian army. Sennacherib was probably the most powerful man on the face of the earth in that day. Hezekiah was not even close to his equal. But Hezekiah knew someone who was more, so much more than Sennacherib's equal. And in verse 16, we read, he prays, Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. So I just love how Hezekiah prays, how he begins his prayer. This threat, this problem I'm facing, it's nothing compared to you, O God. Lord, you are almighty. Now, Sennacherib was powerful. He had this great army. But he was not all-powerful. He was not almighty. Sennacherib might have sat on a large throne, and he had soldiers and bodyguards who protected him and servants who were around the throne, but God was enthroned, and on the sides of God, you have these cherubim, these heavenly beings. God rules over all the kingdoms of the earth, including Assyria. They were able to do what they did simply because God allowed it. God could have stopped at any time he wanted to. He could have wiped Assyria off the face of the earth. And then Hezekiah says, you know, you created the heavens and the earth. I love the way Hezekiah begins his prayer. He begins by acknowledging he has a God who is able to help him with his problem. He's not praying to a God who is not able to help, who is not powerful enough to help. He's not praying to a God who would like to help, but he just can't. He is praying to a God who can do anything. He created the earth. He created the heavens in 7 days. I can't even paint the inside and outside of my house in 7 days. God created the entire universe in 7 days. I was reading the other day about our Milky Way galaxy, the galaxy we live in. Our galaxy is over 100,000 light years across. That's amazing. We're not the smallest galaxy. We're not the biggest galaxy. I read that some galaxies are 1.5 million light years across. Our galaxy contains about 200 billion stars. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that's hard to comprehend. 200 billion stars, and we're just one galaxy. Now, how many galaxies are there? God created all these galaxies. He created the universe. How many galaxies are there? Well, if you had asked this question a few years ago, they would tell you, basically, there are about 200 billion galaxies. That's amazing. 200 billion galaxies. But scientists change their mind. They have a tendency to do that. New equipment comes out. They are able to see things better. And in 2016, they came out and said, we're going to change this. There aren't 200 billion galaxies out there. There are between 1.5 and 2 trillion galaxies out there. We can't even begin to comprehend that. 2 trillion galaxies. That's amazing. And the God that Hezekiah is praying to is the God who created all that. And he did it by speaking it into existence. Is this God going to have any trouble dealing with Sennacherib's army? I don't think so. Praising God for who he is, acknowledging he is more than able to handle the problem that we bring before him. We need to pray like Hezekiah did. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul reminds us that God is able to do amazingly more than all we ask or imagine. God is able to help us. He created the heavens and earth in 7 days. He was able to divide the Red Sea. He knocked out Goliath with a little stone, and he resurrected Jesus from the dead. God is able. He is able to help you whatever you're facing. Now, notice Hezekiah's prayer. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that Assyrian king has laid waste to all these people and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God. Hezekiah prays what we might call a so that prayer. God, do this so that all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you are the only God. You know, we need to pray so that prayers at times. God, hear my prayers, not to satisfy my selfish desires, not to give me my worldly wants, but hear my prayer so that you may be glorified, so that you may be honored, so that your will be done, so that people will be saved. Pray, Lord, help me at work today so that people will see your grace and love in what I do. God, help me build a relationship with others so that they may come to know you. God, help me raise my kids so that they will grow up honoring you. God, heal me. God, direct me. God, strengthen me. God, comfort me so that people will know that you and you alone are God. God, give me your wisdom. Give me boldness to witness so that people will come to know your saving grace. Now, as Hezekiah is praying this prayer, Isaiah the prophet sends him a message. This is what it says. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Because you have prayed to me. Listen, what is going to happen next happens because Hezekiah prayed to God Almighty. Did you ever stop to think of how your prayers move heaven? Because you pray, God acts. Because you prayed, someone was kept safe. Because you prayed, someone was healed. Because you prayed, somebody was comforted. Because you prayed, someone found direction. Because you prayed, a relationship was healed. Because you prayed, someone won a victory. because you prayed something you thought could never happen, happened. Don't ever think, not even for a moment, that your prayers don't count, that your prayers don't change things, because when you pray, God acts. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. He prayed again and it rained. Daniel prayed, the mouths of lions were shut. The early church prayed and Peter was released from prison. James says, you have not because you ask not. Now, I don't know what would have happened if Hezekiah did not pray. But because he prays, something amazing happens. Because Hezekiah went and laid that letter out before God in the temple, and he prayed that so that prayer, that all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you, Lord, are the only God. Because he prayed, God answered. And God, through Isaiah, tells Hezekiah what he is going to do to the Assyrians. Now, we don't have time to read everything that Isaiah says about that, but this pretty much sums up what he says. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with a shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Notice what God does next. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. Here are the couple hundred thousand soldiers ready to attack the city of Jerusalem. They are rough, they're tough, they're rugged fighting machines. They represent the greatest human fighting force on the face of the earth. And they were ready to get up the next morning and just level the city of Jerusalem, ready to kill all its people. Now, does that make God nervous? Is God in heaven frantically preparing an angelic army to come down and fight against this human army? No. God sends one angel. Second Chronicles says an angel. He sends the angel of the Lord, and an army doesn't come with him. It's just one angel. And this one angel puts to death 185 Assyrian soldiers. And he does it rather quietly. There's not a lot of noise, not a lot of commotion, not a lot of yelling and screaming. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, because the people of Jerusalem didn't wake up till morning. They were not awakened by the sound of the battle during the night. They were not awakened by stampede of horses. They slept through the night. They got up in the morning, and God had taken care of their problem. Verse 37 says, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. Did you get that? And stayed there. He didn't go back to bother Hezekiah anymore. I think if I was the king of Assyria, I think I would have stayed there too. Don't you think you would have? Listen, folks. I love this passage because it reminds me of something that we need to be reminded of, and that is God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. If you're here this morning as a Christian, you have this God that you can access through prayer just like Hezekiah did, an almighty God who created heaven and earth that can hear and answer your prayers. Now, if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. God may hear your prayers, but he hasn't promised to. But if you become part of his family, he makes that promise, I'll hear. Now, the Bible says to become a Christian is so simple. God doesn't demand things that we can't do. He says all you need to do is have faith, confess Christ, repent of your sins. That is, instead of me taking the reins, I'm going to let God take the reins, and I'm going to go his direction. And I need to be baptized, born again, for the forgiveness of sins and gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you need to make that decision, you've been putting it off, and you need to make it, if you just come forward, we can take your confession today, and we have the baptistry ready, we can baptize you into Christ Jesus. Maybe you want to think about it a little more, and see me after the service, and we'll set up a time when we can talk and we can baptize you into Christ Jesus. Let's be standing as we sing together.